This is episode 141 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel, fashionably on time, Manzano.
It's got to be a first time.
Will, anonymous unicorn, Haygood.
Check out this hat.
And Ryan, the blockade of Texas is complete. Roger, Roger. Stanisewski.
I couldn't be more happy to be wrong about my prediction. Roger Rogers all over.
Everywhere. All right. So first, our announcements. This Wednesday, Gold Squadron Podcast League Night is Fireball Wednesday. Okay. We have three different Fireball lists that are going to be featured. We have a seven Fireball list you guys are going to see. You're going to see Chewbacca and five Fireballs. And then Marcel's cooking up something with Kaz that we're going to be playing. We're going to pit some non-Fireball lists against them, have some fun, and just do some testing on the Fireball. Let's find out. Make sure to tune in at 5 p.m. Central for Gold Squadron League Night. As for our Patreon update, wanted to let you guys know that I am starting to get some sketches back from artists. I'm really excited to reveal what is coming back. I actually put in some commissions with a bunch of artists. That way we have a bunch of art just kind of rolling in, and we'll just reveal as they become available, and excited to talk about some other things that are on the way. But that's all I can only tease at the moment. But we're jumping right into it. Today we're talking all about the UK and the Texas System Open. These are the first two events to come up with the hyperspace format at the premier level with our current points update. So essentially, these two events set the meta. They set the precedent, and things will start evolving from here. And we're going to start in the UK System Open. We streamed the Texas System Open, so we have a lot more of that information. With the UK, we had to parse just from a lot of different sources. We have most of the top 16. I wanted to try to see if we can get to the top 32, but we just don't have enough data to really talk about that intelligently there. But we're just going to jump into it. So I know this isn't pretty, because we didn't have a ton of time either to pull all these resources together, so it's not going to look as nice as usual. But you'll survive, hopefully. Here we go. So we're only going to be talking about the top 16 lists, and we're going to go in what their Swiss rank order was, and then we'll talk about how far they got. So right here, we got to start with the winner. It's Timo. I'm not sure. Is it Raib or Rabe?
Rob.
But Rob. So out of Germany, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Marcel?
Yeah, Germany.
All right, Team Germany. I know he was part of the XTC team. And he was not only the number one seed, but also he just cleaned house, went completely undefeated throughout the event. And let's go ahead, Marcel. What list did he bring?
Sure. He flew Boba Fett with Maul, Proton Bombs, Darth Maul, Proton Bombs, Contraband Cybernetic, Hull Upgrade, and Slave One at 110 points. And then he paired that with Koshka Frost with 000 Proton Bombs, Rigged Cargo Chute, and Hull Upgrade. And that comes in an 89. So he really didn't have a bid, total of 199 points, which is interesting for a Boba Fett build. Being that I saw his post earlier today, and out of the six matches in Swiss, he flew against four other Boba Fetts that had a better bid than him. So that was interesting.
Yeah, he put in the work. I wonder, like, the tech of having Koshka Frost there versus other Boba Fetts that had Maul, I wonder if that played a huge effect in the mirror match, because Koshka Frost, if you guys aren't familiar, when I believe, is it just attacking or is it also defending the ability?
Both.
So both. When attacking or defending, you have a reroll versus a stress chip. So maybe that played into effect. A lot of, there are games on both the Firestorm Firecast and First Earth that are currently on their Twitch and YouTube. I know all the games are not currently available for First Earth right now. They're only available for subscribers, but he always puts them on YouTube. Eventually, it's the same thing we do. And the Firecast, I think they're on YouTube already just because they stream to the YouTube platform. So,
And also... a lot of the drones and a lot of the separatists, a lot of those like to stress themselves.
Yep.
So that's rerolls against, you know, the calculate barrel roll and things like that. So it's a really teched list, especially rigged cargo shoot. You give up an action, but you gain rerolls and you make somebody's day sad.
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, something I need to talk about is Boba Fett specifically is going to be a theme of what we talk about today. You're going to notice there's going to be a lot of Boba Fett. Let's keep going. We got a lot of lists. We got, what is it now, 31-ish other lists to talk about between the two events. Here we go. So Colin Brown in the top 16 flew a separatist list here. I know that's a little bit difficult to see, but so I'll go ahead and read it. So these are five... Trade Federation drones with what looks to be grappling struts. Two of them and two other Trade Federation drones with grappling struts, and then also Discord missiles, and then also a Hyena bomber. Which one is that? D32C. There you go, 32C, with TA-175. That is the Pinata droid, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's written in another language. I think those are more landing struts.
Yep.
So he was able to make it to the top 16 there. And so total number of points looks like he had 198. And being able to take the separatists. Now, one thing when we start to look at the total representation of the factions, you're going to notice that some separatists did really, really well, but their overall representation in the events were actually really, really low. Surprising. We'll talk about that more later. Also, Marcel, cool mug. Nice little Easter egg for those people who watch live. If you're not watching live, you're only listening, I'm sorry you missed the cool scum mug that Marcel was showing off. All right, Will, what's the next one?
Well, let's take a look here.
So, oops, I forgot to put their name. Let me go ahead and pull the name. You can go ahead and start reading the list. It's the fourth person in Swiss, made it to the top 16.
All right. This is... Oh, I can't read that name.
Okay.
The name.
The name was there. So that's Philippe. We're going to say Vucic.
Better than I can. Anyways, has O66 with TA-175, Pinata droid. Then six droids with struts. And then one without. And I assume that's to have a bid against other vultures. Because the list does fit with that.
One of the arguments I'm seeing a lot between people is like, yeah, people are starting to bid in the vulture matchup, but then I'm seeing people bid and then have a different reason for it. It's like, oh, I'm bidding because I want to make sure I move first and get my calculates. But then you have the other people who's like, I'm bidding because I want to move second so I can barrel roll and have more information.
I mean, both are valid.
Right.
I guess.
it's just funny, people are going to use it. Yep.
Yeah, I think it also depends if you've got additional tech like Discords or something like that. You want to know if you need to get either position yourself for the Discord or get yourself out of the way of something like that as well.
Yep, we'll continue here. Next top 16 list comes from San Davies. Go ahead and read that to me, Ryan.
Am I missing this one? I see a picture that says Akash.
Our document, the color, the colored ones are the top 16.
Okay. So Sam Davies, Boba Fett's back. We got Boba Fett with Maul, Fearless, Proton Bombs, Contraband, Cybernetics, Slave One, and Hull Upgrade, and Fen Rao with just Fearless.
It's good
kind
tech.
Of the, I'd say the potential standard Boba Fett right now.
Yeah. It's going to come back.
Yeah. And people have variations, and most variations are going to probably lean towards the how much do I want to bid.
Right. And the bomb, right? That's probably the biggest difference. We've seen cluster mines. We've seen seismic charges and proton bombs, them just kind of rotating. I'm noticing less proximity mines from what I've seen. But those are the three that I've seen kind of rotate.
Hyperspace legal.
Ah, well, that would be the reason why. See, Marcel chiming in for the win. I like it. This is why we do this as a team. All right. We continue down here to the 12th person in Swiss. We made it to the top eight. That's Paul Schaller. Yep. And Will, what we got here?
This is 5 Blue Squadron T-65s with S-foils, because you got to bring some sort of upgrade.
I mean, it's just good, right? Like, it's beef. You have 3 guns. Yeah. They're 6 health each. We saw a couple of them on stream this weekend.
Yeah, they have the I-2 that beats out a lot of these I-1 swarms, too. So, you end up being like 5 aces out there if everyone you're fighting is I-1.
Mm-hmm. We continue. We, the 13th seed, made it to the top 4. This was Christopher Bengston. Marcel?
All right, taking the mute off. So Christopher's flying a Republic list. Obi-Wan, Plo Koon, and Ahsoka Tano, all of them with calibrated laser targeting, and Rick Oley with outmaneuver. Jedi, you know, the Force is still good. The Force and free actions are still good, and I'm not sure why so many people thought it wouldn't be. I personally didn't think they were going to be that good too, but I mean, it's still Force and almost everybody with Force or free actions.
I would say representation for the Republic was about average between the different events. We'll hit those numbers here in a little bit. But yeah, we definitely saw a drop compared to what it has been, for sure. Then the 14th seed, we get to the finalists here. Jose Maria Hungaro of Team Spain. Ryan?
So we have another Republic squad, this one utilizing 2 dedicated 7th Squadron veteran arcs, Rick Ollie with R4 and Daredevil, and then Obi-Wan Kenobi with calibrated laser targeting, Foresight, and R5. So a little bit of more blues for Rick Ollie for his Daredevil, and Obi-Wan getting a little bit of regen-esque ability, and then keeping Obi-Wan and Rick alive via the dedicated card, which is rarely seen.
Actually, and that's what I wanted to swap to here really quickly. Dedicated reads, for those of you who don't know, it is an elite talent, is Republic, and you need to be a non-limited pilot in order to run it. It says, while another friendly ship in your side, left or right, arc, are at range 0 to 2, defense, if it is limited or has the dedicated upgrade, and you are not strained, you may gain 1 strain token. If you do, the defender rerolls 1 of their blank results. So just making those arcs more tanky, right? Making that one die do a little bit more work. I like it. Okay, and yeah, you're right, Ryan. That's something that we haven't seen on the tape. I have never actually seen it played competitively, and really cool to see it here in the top 2. Maybe it starts popping up a little bit more often. All right, let's keep moving on here. We get to the 17th seed, Marcelo Soto, another Team Spain representative. Marcelo was flying a scum list. It had Fenrau with Fearless, 2 Initiative 1 Zealot recruits, and Namlam in the Jumpmaster with Dengar, which seems to just be a staple now for Namlam, and also the Auto Blaster Cannon. Really cool. I know they did stream a couple of games here. I really want to see how he uses Namlam and the Zealots to screen for Fenrau. But made it to the top 16. If I'm not mistaken, he was knocked out by the eventual champion, Teemo. We get to the top 8. What do we got going here, Will?
This is the Fochel 8 TIE FO TIE Fighters.
Yep, that was by Marcus Wilson. So we're getting some diversity for sure. Then we get our first Resistance appearance here. Marcel, go ahead and read it down.
Sure. You've got James Durrell and his 5 Resistance A-Wings. So basically all of them with the heroic and advanced optics. With you have ZZ, Tally, what's the other one? Greer. The new guy, Ronith, who can borrow somebody else's tokens for himself, and a blue squadron recruit, which are the initiative ones. It's just the only real difference between this and what you've been seeing before is a bump from the initiative one to Ronith. So very, very common list that you'd seen before.
Okay. The 31 seed, Greg Hilson, did make it as well. We don't have his list. He made it through to the top 16 and flew Separatists. And again, the fact that he flew Separatists is actually quite interesting. And we'll touch on those numbers. We will touch on those numbers in a little bit. We'll continue down here to the 37th seed that made the top 16. It was Andy Brazier. What'd he fly, Ryan?
So we got another Resistance showing. Kind of a big Poe with outmaneuver R4 proton torpedoes in black 1. So got the escape route, got the ability to get behind, do some extra damage, and big damage with proton torpedoes. Got ZZ with heroic and concussion missiles. Interesting choice, but I can see how using it offensively and then gaining the focus or evade when necessary can get you 3 dice. And then Kaz with R5 advanced slam and Kaz's fireball. It's just a 3-ship Resistance AC-ish list.
All right, so we're getting our first appearance of the Fireball making the cut, which I think is really cool, and it is Kaz. We haven't seen the generics yet. We haven't seen Jaeger, but Kaz making an appearance there. Do we think that Kaz is the best, just like single pilot from the Fireball?
I think Jaeger is a lot funner.
I think Kaz has to be hands down the best.
Yeah,
hands down.
Kaz is his ability is pretty good, and if you just I think a lot of the big upgrades is going to be R5 because you just say I'm going to be 6 health with 3 agility and 3 attack dice.
Oops, my red light fell over. That's why there's no red behind me. So sad. Anyway, we'll continue here. We got 2 more lists for the UK top 16. Top 8 here, we had Craig Reed. He was the 38th seed going into the cut. And he flew Nom Lom with Ion Cannon, Boba Fett with Slave 1, and Fen Rao. So taking out all those upgrades that you were seeing on Boba Fett, keeping just the best one, Slave 1, that says, I'll go the other direction. Thank you. And fitting in on Nom Lom, are we surprised that we're seeing the Jumpmaster make a rise? Or is it Nom Lom only that really is going to make the difference because of his abilities, basically his free rotate?
Well, he's the most cost-effective for his ability and his pilot ability and his usability or support ability, which is, you know, changing arc and being able to move 1 as a blocker. Now, we're not going to talk about it, but there was a 4 jump master list that made day 2 in UK going 6-0. So I think that alone just shows you that you're going to see more of them. And I think more than anything, the reason you're seeing more of them is not just because they got cheaper. I think getting cheaper is part of it, but I think getting that second arc is really what was hurting them because they didn't have any good way to rotate their arc around. They needed something a little bit more consistent. So with that cannon slot and with the cannons just being 3 points for the cheaper ones, I think that just automatically boosts them up. Which, by the way, I said like 6 months ago, I said if they get the cannon slot, they'd be playable again.
Called it. Marcel, 2019. And then our last list from the top 16 was the 39th seed, Antonio Vega, who made it to the top 4. And he had Major Von Reg and 3 Zeta Squadron Survivors and Lieutenant Revis. So those Lieutenant the Zetas are the TIE SF, and Lieutenant Revis is a TIE FO. On Von Reg, he had Outmaneuver and the Deuteronium Power Cell. So, first appearance of that in a top 16 cut. If you're not familiar with that card, we can't pay to pull up the picture because FFG hasn't updated their card database yet, but this is the one that essentially is regen for the tech slot there. Am I right about that? I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Yeah, it has two charges, gives you weapons disabled.
Excellent. Now, the top 16 is only a very small snapshot of what was in that tournament, because the tournament was absolutely massive. The population density there in Europe, you got a lot of players. They're able to come together, and they got the space to fill it. So they had 486 players. Absolutely ridiculous. Just a massive number. But with those massive numbers, we get to see a large group, a large community of players coming together and really starting to help form our ideas of the hyperspace meta and how the system opens are going to be going into the upcoming ones. Now, we're going to go ahead and pull up some of the numbers we have here. Zoop, 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 zoop. There it is. Okay, so we're looking right here for those of you who are watching live. So total, like I said, we had recorded 486 lists, and from there we can actually just look at this first chart right here. Our largest representation was Scum with 24.5%, with a chunk of those being just a ton of Boba Fett lists, and again the lowest representation being Separatist. If you remember going through those top 16 lists, we had, I think it was three or four Separatist lists make it into that top 16. I think, Ryan, before the show, you had said, like, look at that conversion rate, right?
Yep. Once again, Separatist is not a popular faction to bring, but is a very successful faction nonetheless.
Now, let's speculate a little bit. Why do we think the low participation of Separatists, but they are high powered, like why are we not seeing more people fly Separatists? Is it like a cost of entry thing? Is it just like I don't want to fly that many ships? What are we thinking?
I think it's the perception of two agility, three health ships protected by two agility. And I think what people fail to see is just all the different tools that come along with it, because they're so cheap at 19 points or 20 with a strut. It just a full list of eight is 160 points. That gives you 40 points to play with. That could be missiles. That can be, I mean, you can see all the different things that people put on it, whether it's a tech slot or the tech relay or a bunch of torpedoes, or, you know, like Duncan did, we'll talk about later, or whatever you have it. It's just, when you look at the Focho, and yeah, they have more agility, more health, but they got less tools. They don't have advanced optics on them. They don't share tokens, and green dice fail. So I think that's the main thing, is that they're cheap. Two dice is enough now. It's not like 1.0 where you needed four, five, six dice in order to put in one damage. Two dice is enough to put damage in these days. And they're the most cost-effective, not money-effective, the most cost-effective as far as how many points they cost to get those ships out there. I think that's just my opinion.
Cool. Any other thoughts on that?
I definitely still think there is a cost of entry to it, and the perceptive of how taxing it is on your brain to play a 7 to 8 ship list, which I'm not taking away from. It can be taxing for sure. Some people prefer lesser ships with more AC mobility too. Got taking that into account. Some people like a certain style of play. And towards the end of first edition, beginning of second edition, we didn't see like big swarms like this. So that type of archetype hasn't been favored in the first place. We're now seeing it, not only immediately, but also previously at Worlds with some results and prior events, that the Separatist swarms are very successful. So yet to catch on completely, probably.
All right. Now we're going to jump on over to the Texas System Open. And after we compare these, I have some more interesting stats. I know you guys like your stats, but let's jump over to these lists. Now, we'll get to that the breakdown here. And we will zoom out a little bit so you guys can see better. I'm also going to have to pull up another reference thing. So we did stream the... What in the world? Things are falling down in my office, and I don't know why. we did stream the Texas System Open. All those games are available to watch for our Twitch subscribers right now for the next 14 days. But we are currently uploading, actively uploading the games to our editor. Our editor will start throwing them on ASAP. So we should start seeing those really, really soon. Now, so Duncan Howard was the eventual champion here. These are currently in order Swiss rankings, okay? So this is 1 to 16. Now, the total number of players at the Texas System Open was significantly less, but still a good chunk of players. We can jump back here. We had 137 lists that we had, but there were 141 players. I will tell you that. So we were missing a couple of lists there. But here we go. So Duncan Howard, our top seed and eventual winner, took a separatist list. Here we go again. A separatist list took two Techno Union bombers with plasma torpedoes and landing struts, using those plasma torpedoes to rip off shields to some of those heavily shielded groups, and then also being able to then take advantage of the Discord missiles after that to get crits underneath shields quicker, and then taking 1, 2, 3 Trade Federation drones with the Discord missiles, because that's as many as you can, with grappling struts, an additional drone with grappling struts, and then two more drones without struts, because you can't fit it at a solid 200 points. Moving on here. Oh, by the way, I said top 16. It's technically top 15, but you guys get it. Then we get Chris Merrick. Will, Chris Merrick was the... Where's my...
So before we jump off, just a quick question. Since so I think him and Jesse, who's also from that area, were the only ones that decided to go without a tech relay carrier.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about, again, loading it out with plasmas and a bunch of cool toys versus some of the, you know, other people that are just finding a way to get the tech relay in, whether it's through the Sith Infiltrator or the tech, I don't even know the bomber that can carry it.
Oh, 32C. Yeah. So, I know Jesse, who was the other person who made the top cut with Separatists in Texas, had been playing without tactical relay for a while. He'd been utilizing a pseudo tactical relay by bringing a Techno Union bomber with the Dark One probe droids. So in a way, just kind of forcing to get all of his guys target locked. So it's a multiplier type effect similar to a tactical relay. And I'm personally used to bringing a tactical relay. I was extremely surprised to see Duncan take, or anyone, I know Duncan's an extremely good player, but to see a separatist list take not a tactical relay, but also not the Dark One probe droids is extremely surprising in my eyes. I can see how it works, where you use the drones to screen in front of the Techno Union bombers to give them space to get those plasma torpedoes off. And mathematically, as Marcel, we talked a little bit earlier, that having a target lock and still having even one focus to turn over from a friendly calculate is still pretty good to get you at least one hit through to take multiple shields down.
Yeah, it's really solid. We saw them get really be really effective on stream. Again, watch those games when you can. I'm sorry, Duncan was second in Swiss, by the way. These got uploaded a little bit out of order. Now we get to our first in Swiss. It's Chris Merrick flying a list that I was super surprised by. We did get one game with him on stream. Marcel, what do we got going here?
Sure. You've got the only Republic list that made the cut in Texas, which is four of the Jedi Knights with calibrated targeting, and the what was the other one? It was
broadside
with ion, well, with ions, and I think that was it.
And
right?
And a hull upgrade,
a hull upgrade on broadside.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was it. But when I saw it, the first time that I saw it was in watching the final Was it the final? No, it was a semifinal, right? Yeah, it was. I think it was the top four because Bobby was in the final. So
it was the top eight.
Top eight where he lost?
Yeah.
Okay. In that match, when I saw it, it's very solid. I mean, everything works really well, and having those ships just being able to, you're going to get at least one bullseye at some point, you know, when you have so many ships. So yeah, it's solid. And when I saw it, I liked it, and you know, it's something to test out and put on the table.
Well, it's really easy to get bullseyes when they're ionized.
Yeah, that always helps.
I can definitely see how that broadside kind of support to it could really turn things around in games.
Yeah, and watching Chris play this squad, even though he did lose the game, being able to see him cycle them as blockers, so he would use one attempt to block the ship that he was coming in, that way broadside would hopefully be able to ionize things, and then just setting up those shots, having them at different angles, just doing what is really, really solid when you have multiple ships of this type that don't need to be in a formation, but being able to just cover separate sides. It was really, really cool to watch it. And I think this is one I'm going to try to put on the table because this looks just super fun to play. And it is one of the best utilizations of the Jedi Knight that we've seen. We haven't seen it really be competitive. And here it is, that lowest initiative Jedi doing the work. We continue here. We get to, this is Carlo's list. He was, looking at my list here, he was third, is that right? Yeah, third in Swiss going in, and lost in the top 16 match. But Will, I'm going to let you take it.
Oh, yeah. Because this list starts with Jack Porkins. He's an X-Wing, by the way.
he can hold it.
He can hold it, apparently. He's super cheap. Just put on foils, Captain 945. You have Naked Jake Ferrell. Also, so good right now. Just amazing. And specifically, all these guys are I-4, by the way, which is really, really helpful. Then there's a pair of B-Wings with the new configuration stabilized S foils. There's 10 nub with fire control system, so you can reroll that first shot before he follows it up with a tractor beam. Also has a hull upgrade. And then Braylon has an ion cannon to shoot as well. And because they're all I-4, 10 nub can shoot first, giving everybody a tractor beam, which is very powerful. That sounds super nasty.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep the good times rolling here. Jesse Cho, which was our other Separatist list. Ryan, go ahead and let us know what this list is.
So Jesse has a single Techno Union Bomber with the Dark One probe droids. We have 1, 2, 3 Trade Federation drones, all with grappling struts and concussion missiles, 3 Trade Federation drones with Discord missiles and grappling struts, and 1 single Trade Federation drone with no upgrades. Just getting those missiles off with the probe droids, and then also following it up if they get close enough with the nasty Discord missiles.
Yeah, and he has that Techno Union bomber with the Dark One probe droid. I mean, just so good, really efficient. I feel like this one's teched out versus other swarms with the concussion missile, right? Just being able to flip some of those cards. We did get them on stream. The concussion missiles didn't do anything with the flipping of cards. That mattered in the game. But I think that might be maybe the call there, or just being able to get a 3 dice attack is nice, right? At long range.
Yep, he opted for more than two three-dice attacks versus Duncan's list, but Duncan's carriers of those missiles were much beefier because there were two hyenas. Mm-hmm. And generally would net you, I don't know the exact math, but I feel like plasma torpedoes are more likely to net you a little more damage as long as you're going up against shields. Granted, there's plenty of fangs out there and other non-shielded lists.
Absolutely. And then also your missile carriers for Duncan last longer, right? They have six hull. They have a better chance of actually making it to the opportunity to use it. Oh, five hull. Excuse me. Five hull. They're thicker. That's the point. All right. We move on here. Oh, by the way, Jesse made it to the top 16 and was eliminated there. Then, Marcel, let me know. Robbie Goodhue, he made it to the... He stayed in the top 16. What did he fly? What did he bring?
Let me find Robbie. I can see it on your screen, but can't. My eyes are not that good. It's Fen Skulls. So it's Fen Rao with Fearless and three skulls. Two skulls. Cartel Spacer with Auto Blaster. So, yeah, it's three Fang Fighters with Fearless, Fen Rao, and two skulls, which are the Initiative Fours. And a Cartel with Auto Blaster comes in at 199 points, which is a different take on what something like what Ali flew with, it, which is Fen Rao with three Initiative One Fangs. He's going for the higher initiative, which is a good call, I think. Initiative 4 is pretty strong with hyperspace, I feel.
Oh, you know what? I just realized, I think we may have missed Ollie's list when I was doing the UK.
Okay,
by the way,
there we go. Ollie flew a fang. And
yeah. Sorry, and Ollie.
He made top 16, I think.
Yes, so he should have been on our list there, but clerical error, we'll call it there. Mm-hmm. All right, so some more scum showing their face here. Then we got Blake Dillon, who was the finalist. He was top four, excuse me. Blake Dillon, top four, another five X-Wing squad. Just using that efficiency, he lost in the top four to Duncan Howard. He came in as the sixth seed, just showing the efficiency of the X-Wing chassis. All right, Will, let's talk about Doug Howe's list.
All right, this is a first order triple ace, question mark. starts with Kylo Ren with instinctive aim, so he can use the force to shoot proton torpedoes. That's one of the silencers. The other silencer is a Signar Jamus Engineer. I believe mm-hmm. that's the I-1.
Yep.
Super cheap, 51 points. The third ace then is Major Von Rock. Naked, no upgrades, just out there, I-6 in it. Is the I-1 silencer an ace? What is it doing in this list?
I don't know.
I mean, it can double reposition as a blocker. I mean...
Yeah, my guess is, depends on the matchup, either use him as a beefy blocker, because 3 agility, 6 health, or you say, all right, little guy, little new recruit, you go on the flank, and if they turn at you, sweet. If they don't, you're on the flank. Yay.
And you're a silencer, you got 3 dice, you get 4 at range 1.
Yeah.
It's a good piece. Yeah,
I do see that this list comes in at 198. If you are facing Trade Federation drones or the Focho, you are an ace out there just with the bid.
Nice. Yeah, you got 2 points. You'd be able to just get under.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's only 10 points more than the Initiative One Fang Fighter, and it has better maneuverability. And it's got two additional shields. If you put two shields on a Fang Fighter, that's an extra, 8 points apiece. So that would be a 56-point ship, a Fang Fighter with this much health. So they are very well costed.
Yeah, and actually, Marcel, I really like that idea of the facing against the Fang Fighters, because that's a very likely matchup that we would see in our current meta. You got a lot of Fangs rolling around there. So good point. All right, let's keep rolling here. By the way, Doug Howe did make it to the top eight, but was defeated by Duncan Howard. We did catch that one on stream. We caught his first match versus his basically brother, Alex Smittle. That was a rough game to watch for sure. We'll get to Alex Smittle's list, though, in a minute, which I thought was really, really cool. All right, Bobby Oye, our finalist, not quite champion, second place overall, came in the eighth seed. I forgot who's next. Will, I think.
Sure, I'll take it. This is the Boba Fett. He calls it the Mandalorian special. It's at 187, has a Fearless Fenrir, Fearless Maul, Cluster Mines, Cybernetics, Hull Upgrade, and Slave One. So opt in here for the more expensive Cluster Mines, which I assume would be pretty good. Do you still get two charges?
Nope. One charge only.
But you drop three of them, though, which is pretty good.
Yep.
To, like, skip over, to do a four forward over a bunch of vultures and drop three mines on them sounds pretty tasty.
Yum, 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 yum. All right, good stuff there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it broke my heart in the final one. He forgot to do his Boba rerolls on,
yes,
on that one attack. I think that had the opportunity to keep him in the game. And because that droid isn't that the one that ended up blocking him where he couldn't get out of the way of the Discord missiles?
Yeah, so, that sounds right.
Yeah, me and Kayla were watching it live, and we were both like, ah, I think everybody on chat was like, no.
Like, no, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it happens.
There's a lot of triggers there, and here's the thing, is he remembered it on defense. It was the offense that he missed that opportunity.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Guys, Boba can't get away from Discord missiles unless he, like, crashes into an obstacle. Is that right?
He can't. Obstacle, enemy ship, friend. It's any object that would take the place of where the player would want to put the Discord, in the front or the back. Mm-hmm. So if it can't go in either, does damage, droid dies.
Well, so Boba's going to have to crash into something. He's going to have to, like, crash into a ship or something to get it off of his front, essentially. Yeah.
And then put it in the back and go away. Mm-hmm. But he's still going to take a damage anyway because you can't.
Yeah, because he can't get it off of him. So it's basically a guaranteed damage, whether it's couple crits in the activation or in engagement or when it just explodes.
Yeah, so generally every Discord missile attached to Boba is going to do 2 damage.
Yeah, in that joust with the Discord missiles, one thing I find interesting is because they go out during the start of activation, the start of engagement, a lot of times those vultures are the ones in the front line. They're the ones most likely to die, but essentially they still get to quote unquote shoot. They get to do something offensive before they leave, hoping that they actually, of course, stick those Discord missiles. But just a really, really good tech there, and a lot of times you lose a ship, and you can make it matter, even though it leaves the table.
And Paul made a good point that it's probably not supposed to be 4 points. It's much more valuable than 4 points because you put it on the right ship. It has the potential of, we talked about Boba. The only way for Boba to really get it off quickly, if he's not close to somebody else, is just do a K-turn and run away. But even then, it's still taking a couple crits as a result. And for 4 points, it's a very, very solid. And going back to why is the Separatist so good? Because they
have auto damage.
They have auto damage, and they have so much stuff that they can do at such a little cost.
Yep. So if you're building a Separatist list in hyperspace, at least, if you're not bringing 3 Discord missiles, you may want to think again for how many Bobas you are probably facing in most events. I'm okay with Discord missiles going up maybe a point, but that's also if Boba goes up, because if they don't get the Discord missiles, Boba eats them alive.
That's right. Tit for tat there. All right, we continue. Ryan, let's go with Ethan Hank's list. He came in ninth in Swiss and was defeated in the top 16 by Bobby.
First order, one of my favorite silencers, Avenger. The when a friendly ship dies in any range, basically Avenger can take an action, which is pretty good to reassess where you can boost or barrel. So if Avenger, and this is even if he is stressed, you can still take that one action. You cannot, if you're already stressed, use auto thrusters. But if you are not stressed, you can use auto thrusters off of that ability. Partnered with 4 Zeta Squadron survivors with advanced optics. So a pseudo 5A sort of effect where you have 4 front, back, arc, advanced optic shots, consistent dice, and then you have a singular heavy hitter. And it's still really good chassis silencer, so even Avenger's ability doesn't go off, which is probably a good thing because none of your guys are dying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We keep rolling down here. We got a few more. Alex Smittel. This list, again, he played against Doug Howell. He came in the 10th seed going into the top 16. And he had Fenrau, no upgrades, and then brought along with him 6 Mining Guild Sentries. So those are the Mining Guild ties, the lowest initiative. And, you know, just being able to control the board, being able to have some answers versus vultures and moving around on those asteroids. Of course, it's important to remember that they cannot shoot on asteroids. They have to barrel roll off to actually get a shot. Alex had some unfortunate variants, so we didn't get to see this list at its best, but you can kind of see the idea here. Rather than taking more mining guilds, he brings Fenrau as different tech, a really heavy hitter, and you basically have a choice to make. You either go after the mining guilds or Fenrau, and it feels like a bad choice either way, because if you're in Fenrau's face, that's what he likes. He likes being at range 1, but then you're getting chewed up by some mining guild sentries, and if you go after the swarm, you got Fenrau on the flank, which is no fun either. Next, we have Lando's boys. We're gonna roll back to Will because this is, you know, our list.
Yeah,
this is from Isaac Martin.
Yeah, this is what like I said. Me and you were flying last year. Well, a variation of it, anyways.
Yeah,
and it's what I called out in our hyperspace special, which is Lando Calrissian with 9 nub, classic support or double modifying turret. Luke Skywalker, always great, has foils. And Thane Kyrell, the I-5 T-65 with S-foils as well, and gets him a 6-point bid in there. Lando's just good. Lando's pre-action can pre-maneuver or pre-reposition these X-Wings before they, say, take K-turns. Before they bump into other ships, you can boost them before they activate and open up their S foils. There's a lot of things you can do with this, and they're all I-5 with a bid. So against Bobas that don't have bids, which I think most of them do, was there a Boba list without a bid? That the Fenrau Nomlom one doesn't have a bid. So it might struggle against that, but it seems solid otherwise.
All right, Marcel, let's go ahead and talk about Andreas Lissis, a.k.a. AC Jaeger out of Mexico.
De Mexico. So he is flying another Rebel list. It's Luke Skywalker with Justice S-Foils, Thane Kyrell as well, and 2 Red Squadron veterans, which are the Initiative 3 ones with Selfless on each of them. And it's really just... beef list really coming at you. The 5533, 4 X Wings, and very, very standard. I would say very standard kind of like stuff that you've seen before. It's just put together well and flown well.
Yep, and then the Selfless tech there, being able to pull those crits and be able to make sure that Thane and Luke make it to the end game. That's the idea with those, and you have 2 of them. And they're just X Wings, so they hit hard, so.
They do.
They're good. And of course,
do you think it's worth looking into 10 nub instead of Thane? Even without the foils?
I think in this list, you're taking Thane for his speed. He can boost with the other X-Wings.
True.
The B-Wings are fairly slow if you're trying to keep on the move.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth, in my opinion, as good as Thane might be, dropping that Thane to something, to another Red Squadron and putting R2-D2 on Luke Skywalker. I think R2-D2, since everything else went up, R2-D2 actually basically stayed the same point-wise, and getting 3 regen on your most expensive ship is might be...
Yeah, but...
Then you kind of put a target on his back, right?
Hmm? Yeah, well, my counter-argument to that is that no one's shooting at Luke. They'd rather just shoot at a Red anyways, so he doesn't need to heal.
Maybe.
Are you going to shoot Luke or one of these selfless Reds?
I don't know.
you should probably shoot the Red. Don't even bother with Luke. Which, like you said, gets him into the end game without healing.
I'll put a Discord on him so he can't pass it.
Oh, I'll barrel off of it.
By the way, our next quick tips are on Discord missiles, because there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions I saw on stream. Still a lot of confusion. I know it's a lot of text, and you got to reference 3 different pieces of paper in order to understand what's going on there. So let's keep rolling. Couple more lists left. Here we go. We got Steven Consoli with some more scum stuff. Will, take it away.
All right, this is the classic Boba Fang, but this one adds this and gets 2 fangs in there. You got Boba Fett with the best upgrade you can bring, Slave One, and I think the second best upgrade you can bring, which is Maul Crew. Then 2 Skull Squadrons, those are the I-4s, so it's Fearless. Get some attack modifiers in there, and it comes in at 198.
Excellent. Then, there you go. Steven Moore here with an Imperial list making the top 16. Go ahead, Ryan.
We have 4 TIE Advanced. One of them all have fire control system. The pilot spread is Darth Vader, Merrick Steele, Zertik Strom, and a Storm Squadron Ace at 200 points. Going for the heavy hitting once they acquire the locks. Surprising that maybe he didn't drop the Storm to a Tempest to give Vader passive sensors. I feel like passive sensors are pretty good on Vader, but he did very well.
Absolutely. I wonder in his matchups how relevant the TIE Advanced, the advanced targeting computer mattered, especially during versus any Fang fighters and these Vultures just being able to just start digging crits into those lower initiative ships, just making them cry.
Yeah, and for people who forget, Zertik Strom's ability is during the end phase, you may spend a lock you have an enemy ship to expose one of that ship's damage cards. So if the crit flips over immediately, Zertik could flip it again.
Do it again. Yeah. Oh, panic pilot.
I could see, you put 1 direct hit on a Vulture. Oh, it's gone now.
So sad.
Just automatic.
That used to be one of Marcel's favorite little doodads in first edition.
Lieutenant Colzit?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's harder now, but, no push the limit or anything like that.
Oh, man. Lieutenant Colzit with Kylo to show people the dark side.
I show the dark side and then keep flipping it?
Yeah, that's nasty.
And you're regenning what?
Oh, man. Old blinded pilot would be the worst. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember that happened. Marcel did that to me like 4 times in a game to get into the cut, and I was super frustrated.
But I didn't show you the dark side. I used to use...
It was the old... But before Kylo Wampa had come out.
It was Wampa.
Yeah.
So you use Wampa with the one that gives you the automatic crit to put it in, and then just keep flipping it over. Yeah.
I remember.
Yep. For those who are not aware of first edition, the old blinded pilot said you couldn't even shoot.
Yep.
At all.
You may not play the game.
Yeah, you can't shoot once and you flip it over.
Well, poor one out for first edition original damage decks.
They were so brutal.
OG damage decks?
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay. The original red core.
You don't have a pilot talent anymore. that used to be a thing.
No.
Anyway, we'll close that door. Put him back in the closet. Back in the closet with you. All right, next list. We got two more. We got Jackson McCullough with a Seek Swarm here. M3As with Auto Blasters and Sunny Bounder with Auto Blasters. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Cartel Spacers plus Sunny Bounder. Looks like he brought the 3 Gas Clouds with his list, maybe. Not sure what's going on there, but just M3A efficiency, just being able to bring as many bodies as possible. You got blockers there, you have auto blasters, and if you're coming from different angles, you can get some auto damage in there, assuming you roll. And Sunny Bounder is just that, you know, it's cheap enough where that if the bonus comes up, it's just gravy. You're not really relying on it, but if it comes up, it's good. And then, is this one actually the top 16? I don't think so. I think we got them all. False. We got plus one list there. All right. So those are all of the top 16 lists from the Texas System Open. Let's go ahead and go look at some of the numbers again. So here we're looking at the Texas. So 137 recorded lists. We're missing a couple, but same, really similar ideas here. Most represented faction, once again, was Scum with 34, followed by Rebels. Now, what I wanted to do is let's take a second and compare the graphs between the UK System Open and Texas, just like the overall percentage. And when you look at them, these graphs are really similar when you put them side by side. I also made a combined total, but pretty much you see a trend here. Scum is making up about 25% of our overall lists in the Hyperspace System Open series for these first two events, followed by Rebels, followed by First Order being the biggest, and then Rebels. Now, here's my question to you: we saw when looking at the cut, at least in the in both of these, we didn't see very many First Order lists pop up. We saw a couple, but not as many as compared to the overall representation in the factions. Why do we think we see a spike in First Order, but not necessarily a great conversion rate?
I think it has to do with people still figuring out what works, and probably the same thing with the Resistance. Not a lot of people. I think it has to do with people figuring out the new ships, the fireballs, as well as the Type BA interceptors. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, the people that probably made it to the, you know, people that would fly the First Order with ships that are already proven, like the TIE-SFs and Kylo, probably did better than the Type BAs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think more than anything, it's just a learning curve. I still think that when you get something like, you know, like Holo and 4SFs or the 5A wings, or you start figuring out better ways to use CAS and the other fireballs, mm-hmm. you're gonna see more of them make the cut. So I think that's it. I think it's just that, or maybe you guys have a different view of it. Maybe the specific matchups, like Boba Fett is a bad matchup for them. I know Boba Fett could be a bad matchup for a lot of lists. So I don't know, but I mean they have, especially the First Order, they have the TIE SFs are cost effective, the TIE FOs are cost effective, Kylo and a couple of their races are pretty strong. So not sure.
So I mostly agree with Marcel in that people are still figuring it out and finding the right combination. I think a lot of people we don't have the full list in front of us to know what the majority was, or you know what was the most brought First Order pilot, or what were the highest aces that were brought to the event. But I do think there's a potential. Almost most of the entire First Order faction that is those ace plus fillers. Those fillers are all two attack dice ships, which do struggle against Boba and Fangs. SFs can help against Fangs a little bit because they do have the rear arc and they don't trigger Concordia face-off. But they got to get to that, you know, they got to get past them. In a lot of cases, some SFs can just die straight from just Fen and Boba or Fen and multiple Fangs. And that puts a lot of pressure on the Kylo, the Von Reg, the Holo to carry that game and really pull their weight. And it can be really difficult, even for Kylo, to pull the weight the rest of the way to deal with stuff like Boba and Fen. So First Order as a faction may have a little bit difficulty with how prevalent Scum is, because Scum has so many effective pieces that hurt the First Order, including the Jumpmasters. That's a big base that is hard to get around.
Now here's a question. The Resistance A-Wing, I feel, is a really good tool versus Fangs and Boba Fett, because they don't have to attack at range one, right? They can keep their distance and avoid Boba Fett triggering his ability, and also avoiding Concordia face-off. Do we think we're going to see that as an answer to the rise in Boba Fett and Fangs? Is that type of list just not popular enough and maybe difficult to fly in order to really handle five A-Wings all at once? What do you think, Marcel?
I think not enough people play them, whether it's because of, you know, we talked about the high cost of entry for the Separatists. Playing five A-Wings is also a high cost of entry. I mean, you're going to, it's $100 to play that list. Because you have to buy five of them, and you can't, they don't sell them in multiples. So it's $100 if you want to play that list, or you just got to know people. Even us, like we fly, have a friend like Dion, Kaylin just said, because we're borrowing Dion's A-Wings. So I think that might be it. I think part of it is five costs a lot to play. Not a lot of people have five of it. And then the others, I think it's just maybe people don't put enough practice or don't have enough faith in it. I don't know how many five A-wing lists did you see in Texas?
I didn't see very many, honestly.
Because I know in the UK a couple made the top 64, like three of them, but they didn't get too far in the top 64.
Yeah, didn't see very many in Texas. Mind you, I'm stuck in the corner, right? So I'm not entirely sure. I don't have a huge perspective of that. But I do know that we do have all of the Texas System Open lists, and Chris Allen has them all and will be doing his compiling and teamwork to try to get all that put together. So we actually can see the full metadata there. Ryan, what were you going to say?
Yeah, 5As, it's a known quantity, so to say, besides the non-crack shot available because it's hyperspace. My guess is just people are just on to trying new things and working on other combinations, like what's the new thing that I can counter 200 with? Is it, you know, I know 5As fit, but like, can I move things around, get CAS, or can I move things around, get some cheaper T-70s now? They're cheaper ships with 3-die attack, which can help against Boba, even being an I-1. So there's different 5 ships that are maybe a little more accessible now because your AC ship is cheaper with CAS if you want to use that, and you can add a little more beef. We did see UK had some obviously solid resistance. So I think it's just one of those things where Resistance has so many options that the combo or the combined arms hasn't been found yet that's the most optimal. I still think they'll be good.
Awesome. So then when we look at our combined, 623 submitted lists that we have data for, just looking at that chart right there, we are living in a Scum meta. Separatists, lowest representation out of that 600 plus list, only 6% but placing really well. The highest conversion rate, I would say, like a conversion rate to representation out of all of these, and then Scum, pretty representation and conversion of what you would expect there. Everything else kind of in the middle. I'm curious to see how are things going to develop. If we look at our if you type exclamation point events in the chat, you will get our event calendar. Gold Squadron, I think our next system open is Adepticon in March. There might be a couple of other system opens in Europe or other places in the world that are happening before then. But overall, I'm really curious to see how all of the hyperspace is going to evolve and how will those graphs compare to what we see here. Are we going to see that Scum percentage go up? Are we going to see Separatists go up? Guys, what I want you to do, give me your bold prediction as for faction representation in the upcoming, let's call it Adepticon. What do you think, how do you think this chart will look different, if at all, at Adepticon? We'll go ahead and we'll give you the first crack at it.
People realize that Separatists have these tools, blocking Discord missiles, grappling struts to take down Boba, and we're going to see a lot more representation in that. People are going to start trying out these relay-less swarms.
All right, Ryan?
I think we are going to see a dip in First Order. I think Scum will stay pretty much the same. And I don't think Separatists is going to go up that much because for how long they've been successful, they still haven't increased.
And Marcel?
I do think you're going to get a little bit of crossover from First Order to Separatists. I think you're probably going to see an even representation between First Order and Separatists. Scum is still going to be number one. Resistance might go down a bit. And I don't think Rebel or Empire will go down more than anything else because there's people that fly Republic. I mean, fly Rebel or people that fly Empire, and they're like, this is what I fly. I don't even buy anything else. Mm-hmm. So those people will continue to fly those and try to make those work. But yeah, I think for the most part, Separatists will go up a little bit at the cost of or at the expense of First Order and Resistance. And I think Republic will probably stay about the same.
One of the biggest surprises I had when looking at this chart is Empire has consistently throughout second edition been the most, if not second, the most represented faction at any time. Here, it is the lowest I've ever seen it, 12.2%. Okay, 12.2%. It is third from the bottom. So that makes it, what is that, fifth? So out of seven. And yeah, you know, my bold prediction here is that we will see Empire by the end of the hyperspace season be the least represented faction out of all of them. That a bold prediction. Trying to make it bold. You might disagree, but hey, I'm just trying to be bold. All right, guys. Now we're going to go ahead and move on to some of your guys' favorite segments, and that is our question and list of the week. We're going to go ahead and start with our question of the week here. So question of the week comes from Hollywood 135202, and the question is, what do you think of the B-Wing S-Foils with all the abilities to double tap? Will we see more of them in the meta? So we'll go ahead and we'll open this up because we have some time here to do this question. Was it one or two lists with B-Wing S-Foils out of these 32 lists that we went through? Am I remembering that correctly?
Don't remember.
Pretty sure. I know it was at least one. Are we going to see more of it? I think 10 numb is probably the best one with the S foils overall. Are we going to see more of it? I don't think so. I think if we're focusing on hyperspace, which today is all about the system opens, I think the tech is really good. I think it's a solid upgrade to the B-Wing chassis, but with the other tools available to some of the other factions, I'm not sure if that's enough to really make it so that we see a huge spike in the B-Wings. I do think, though, if you're going to take S-Foils, you take 10 Nub. Any other thoughts on the question, guys?
Yeah, I think one of the things that hurts S-Foils is the sequence of actions where... You know, without S-Foils, you're doing focus barrel roll, so you can focus and then fail your barrel roll, but you have to actually succeed at your barrel roll so you can take the target lock to really trigger that. And, you know, at least with the ships that want to be stressed, the main ships, Braylon and Ten Nub. So I think that's really what's keeping them... that's what's keeping them from really breaking through. I think if you take the other ship, the Initiative 5-1, mm-hmm. that lets you pass off a stress, and that then you use that as a way to get something, let's say, like Braylon with a target lock with a stress and a focus, you know, where he just takes a target lock or something like that, and then he gets the stress, or Tandem, and then they get the stress retroactively from I don't even know what is it called, Gigi or whatever it's called, the Initiative 5-1. But I think more than anything, that's really what hurts it, is that you have to complete the barrel roll in order to get the stress that you want.
Yeah, I think the two B wings, ten.
Gina,
like you
Gina
said,
Moonsong is what you were trying to say.
Gina.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I do think that. You need to bring multiples of them. One is not doing a lot, but you bring multiples of them, at least 10. And I like the addition of Jake. We were just talking about trying to get them extra actions. You can come up and target lock, and then Jake can come up and boost in behind you, giving you that focus barrel roll. I always thought the fourth piece in that should be Dutch. Get a little bit more control. And he can give target locks to the B-Wings even while they're stressed. So because of that, I was very surprised to see in the list we went over Jek filling that fourth person's role. I mean, Ryan, I know you love Jake. He seems like a perfect fit with these B-Wings.
Yeah, although I do think they're, you know, when you mentioned Dutch a while ago, I played around with some lists, and I personally, I'm not high on the B-Wings taking cannons. Now, I'm good with the S-Foils. It's good, flexible ability, especially with 10 Nub. But, I mean, you can throw together a Rebel efficiency token sharing. You got 10 S-Foils, Braylon, Dutch, and Garvin. And if 10 needs a lock and can't barrel roll, then Dutch can just give it to him. If he doesn't, Dutch can give Garvin the lock, and you got that whole synergy. You got 11 points left with that. You could do like ion cannon on Dutch and advanced proton torpedo on 10, which would be super scary, or you can just throw plasma torpedo on Dutch, which we saw was working really well for at least the Techno Union bombers.
Sweet. Let's go ahead, and we're going to roll into, I think, everybody's favorite segment here, and that's list of the week. All right, so what we're going to be doing, we're going to be going through each of the lists that have been presented by people on our Discord. It's absolutely free to join our Discord. Anybody can do it, and anybody can submit lists for list of the week, but I will tell you, you only get picked if you submit a yet another squad builder list. There's a couple of cool lists that I saw in there, but they weren't in YASB form, and we have to be as time efficient as possible. Help us out there. You have 0% chance of getting on list of the week if you don't submit in a YASB link. So just remember that. And then after we're done with these three, we're going to do basically a choose your champion poll between Will, Marcel, and Ryan for brownie points here to see which of the three lists, after going through them, do you like the best. All right, we'll go ahead and we'll start with Will and his Rebel list that has been submitted by Psych7. And he said, can two B-Wings be a solid list to carry the Rebels in hyperspace tourneys with the current meta. And then submitted this. So he has Jake Farrell with Daredevil, Ten Numb with Auto Blaster and the Stabilized S foils, Thane Kyrell with R4 Astromech, making those basic 1 and 2 maneuvers less difficult, and then Gina Moonsong with Tractor Beam, Auto Blaster, and Stabilized S foils. Will, what you doing here?
Oh, see, now I was trying to. Well, let me get back to the original list. I went off on a crazy tangent. The first thing I want to say is the Daredevil on Jake. I don't think it works. His Daredevil has to be, while you perform a white boost action, you may treat it as a red to use the hard one. So yes, you could still use his ability to give it to friendlies. Well, you're going to cost yourself your own focus action before vector thrusters. Because vector thrusters, you have to perform a red boost. So basically, I think it could be good for like support, but it doesn't work with his ability, and that's kind of the whole point in Jake. So I think those are lost points that you don't really need. So the synergy with this is that Gina can pass the stress to either Thane, who's got the R4 for more blues, Jake, if he's not stressed, who also has good blues, or Ten, who could just spin the stress as well. But exactly. But actually, I'm trying to think that. Basically, I'm gonna strip this down and start from scratch. Between Ten Nub and Gina, I think Gina still needs that tractor beam, and Ten Nub could still use.
I totally got wrecked. I'm sorry, I forgot I was muted on the cast. I just read Gina Moonsong's ability, so I'll read it again for those of you who couldn't hear, which was basically everybody except for the team here. It said at the start of the engagement phase, you must transfer one of your stress tokens to another friendly ship at range 0-2. Continue, Will.
Okay. Anyways, I think we need to strip it down. Like I said, take the Daredevil off. I'm going to take. I want to try to get a different replacement than Thane. Though I think I see the synergy here is that Thane is I5, which does matter quite a bit. And I'm trying to squeeze Luke in there, but you lose out on the cannons, which is kind of the whole point. So I think I am just going to go with Thane in there. I'm just going to change the upgrades around.
All right, let's make it happen.
Leave the R4, leave the S-foils. I think that's some smart tech. And I guess the tractor beam. I think I would just rather would have an ion cannon and then an auto blaster on Gino. So it's ion cannon on Ten Nub, tractor beam and auto blasters on Gino. I take that back. You know what this list needs?
What does it need?
We're going back to tractor beam and auto blaster. List needs fire control system. Unless you're Braylon, you can't be bringing these B-wings without fire control system. It gives you the reroll on the first attack, which is much more important. And I don't know if there's anything else to do with 2 points.
So you wanted to go back to on Ten Nub tractor?
Auto blaster.
Just auto blaster?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah. I think I'd rather have fire control system and only the one cannon on Gina. Because, like I said, you're going to need the dice modifiers. And especially Gina, if she barrel rolls into lock, she's not going to have any modifier then at all for either one of her shots, because she's going to have to use the target lock to shoot the tractor beam.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's super important. You could bring a second tractor beam if you wanted to, which would be funny against Boba Fett, because you're going to need a lot of tractor beams, well, two, I guess, to move him around. But I like the auto blaster. 2 4 dice attacks, and Ten could have 2 stress, which is 2 focus tokens, and a reroll on the first attack. That's a lot of heavily modified dice. So Yeah, I think I'll just switch around the upgrades like that, but I kind of like the general theme of it. Gina being actually using her ability to pass off stress.
All right, so we end with Jake, naked. 10 Nub with Fire Control and Auto Blaster and S-Foils. Thane with R4 Astromech and S-Foils. And Gina Moonsong with Fire Control System, Auto Blaster, and Stabilized S-Foils at 198 points. Our next list here is going to be done by Marcel. We didn't get a prompt from here. This was from Jukebox Hero. Marcel is going to be taking care of this one. We have Backdraft in the TIE SF with Advanced Optics, Quick Draw with Advanced Optics and Shield Upgrade, Captain Phasma with Advanced Optics, Mag Pulse Warheads and Fire Control System, and two Epsilon Squadron Cadets. Those are the TIE FOs. We sit at 199 points. Marcel, what say you?
Yeah. So first off, you know, this is one of those, like, a lot of people are flying First Order, and this is not hyperspace legal. It's an extended list because Quick Draw is not hyperspace legal. It's just a lot of beef. You're going to do well just because of the amount of beef that's in there. But let's move some stuff around. So let's start off by moving the Mag Pulse Warhead from Captain Phasma over to Quick Draw. Now, the reason you want to do that is because one of the best things about the Mag Pulse is that you give a deplete and a jam token as well as a critical, and the deplete shooting at initiative 6 makes, you know, they can't clear that deplete within that same attack, so you're gonna whoever's getting shot, basically you just use this to target, let's say Fen Rao, as an example, you're going against Fen Rao. You get a crit in, hopefully. And now Fen Rao's shooting with one less die. So it's also defensive. It's defensive, not just putting in the crit. You want to... Let's do Captain... And now Captain Phasma is really good with Quick Draw, because now you can... If they attack Captain Phasma, then Quick Draw gets an additional shot. But unfortunately, Quick Draw only shoots a primary as a bonus. Doesn't get to shoot the missile again. So let's put Special Forces Gunner on him.
On Captain Phasma?
No, on Quick Draw.
So on Quick Draw, sorry.
Yeah, so he can take full advantage of his ability. And we're going to drop one of the TIE FOs. Four ships is enough for this. Okay? Now, with Backdraft, we're going to take the Advanced Optics off. And instead put Passive Sensors, Concussion Missiles, and Fanatical. Passive Sensors is a system. Yep, there you okay. go.
Sorry, you said Passive Sensors, Fanatical, what was the other one?
And Concussion Missile.
Okay.
And then build out Captain Phasma the exact same way. Excuse me. And you've got a couple
You
points.
Want Passive Sensors there instead of Fire Control?
Yeah, and no Advanced Optics on any of them. And no Shield Upgrade either. You don't need a Shield Upgrade. And for the last one, just take that final FO and convert that over to Scorch with Crackshot.
195
actually,
points?
Yeah, let's go for the full 200. Let's put Fanatical in there instead. So, yeah, so that way you've got Quick Draw at initiative 6, and then you have three other ships at initiative 4. All of them have the potential to put out three attack die on attack. And even if, in extended, you're going to see a lot more of the initiative 6, Unterfels, Vader with Afterburners, Fen Rao still. So the initiative 4s with Passive Sensor become a lot more, and the Concussion Missile become a lot more. Become a lot more useful because in hyperspace they probably don't need the passive sensors, but in the extended I think they would. So it drops from 5 to 4, from 5 ship list to a 4 ship list, but it will be a 4 ship list that punches very hard. And why are you at 196 versus me?
I don't know. There's something that you told me to take out. Did you leave optics on somebody?
No. So all of them have optics. No, I know why, because Quick Draw needs Fanatical and Fire Control System.
Oh, okay. And Fire Control, you said.
Yeah, Fire Control System.
There it is. Okay, so you end up with Backdraft with Fanatical, Concussion Missile, Passive Sensors, Quick Draw with Fanatical, Mag Pulse, Missile, Special Forces Gunner, and Fire Control. Captain Phasma, also in the SF, with Fanatical, Concussion Missile, and Passive Sensors, and Scorch with Fanatical at 200 points.
6 3/4.
And then last but not least, we have a Separatist list that Ryan is going to look at. We did get a prompt here. This is from Lou the Lunatic. And it says, the idea with this list is to fly in a block until the first engagement and send in 404 and Chertik for a tractor and a 5-6 dice attack combo. Kraken is there to give up three ships, to give three ships with calculate actions a floating force point, quote unquote. And now 404 can be double modded and also use network calculations to land those deadly shots. The bombardment drone can also finish off weak ships with a well-placed proximity mine. So here's the list. We have General Grievous. By the way, this is an extended list. So General Grievous with Crackshot, Kraken, Impervium Plating, and Soulless One, Chertek in the Nantex with Ensnare and Crackshot, DBS 404 in the Hyena Bomber with Advanced Proton Torpedo. There's that five dice attack. Afterburners and Struts, and then another Hyena Bomber. This is the Bombardment Drone, that's Initiative 3, with Proximity Mines, Delayed Fuses, and Landing Struts at 199 points. Ryan, what say you?
So this is reminiscent of XY Squad he brought to Worlds. That was Grievous, Chertek, 404, and I believe it was another Nantex with Ensnare. And the route that Lou is going is to maximize the usage of the droids via Kraken, which I'm pretty sure was not on XY Squad. He did not have a tactical relay, but utilizing Kraken to make DBS 404 shot as best it can possibly be. The one thing that might not work, so I think as a list, it may be fine. Like, there's not many things I'm moving around that I can see that really gives something more than what this list offers. I think the Bombardment Drone fits in that point bracket. The only thing that could change is if you, which would be going more towards XY Squad, is taking Kraken off, switching the Bombardment Drone to a base Nantex with Ensnare. But that's not the design of the list. We want to utilize Kraken instead of just using what has already been done. So I think you can retain everything that's in there. Seems optimized and the correct choice of upgrades. I didn't really find anything necessary to move around or take off. I think flying in a block might be a little weird, because especially with all four. So I think Chertek obviously wants to be near 404 and even Grievous, because we've seen before how Chertek can move those friendly ships around to where they need to be to make get the most damage possible. Now, you only have one Ensnare to do that, though. So it may be a thing where 404 kind of wants to, 404 and Chertek, yes, probably want to be the ones to gun in first. And as long as Grievous is sort of near the back and safe, he's good. But having the bombardment in the same block may be kind of odd, because that's the only non-I-4 ship. So moving, they don't have the option to move at the same time and do whatever order they want. And making sure the bombardment drone can feed its extra calculate to DBS 404, you need to be able to keep up with 404 that may be utilizing the afterburners to get the shot as best it can. So I would maybe do a loose block, or something that generally they're still within moderate range of each other, but they all have the ability to close on the same target, even when compensating for the extra speed of Chertek with the tractor beam or the tractor token movement and 404's afterburners, to make sure that the bombardment drone can share the calculates that are being utilized.
All right, so we're not going to change the list at all. We're going to leave it as is.
As I said, the only change I'd make would be a change in philosophy of the list, which would be taking Kraken off of Grievous and swapping the Bombardment Drone to a Nantex with Ensnare.
Okay, so we'll just do that just to tweak it a little bit. I know that changes it, but like I said, changes the philosophy, but a little bit of a different idea there.
Yep, and that can be Gorgle if you really want, but the two point bit's probably still nice.
All right. So those were our lists of the week. So let's do a quick vote here. Which list of the week after our team members here tweaked them? Which tweaks did you like the best? Will with Rebels, the two B-Wings, X-Wing, and an A-Wing. Marcel with the three SFs and Scorch. And Ryan with the Separatist and the Separatist Salad, essentially, is what we got going here. Now, as you guys are voting, I want to remind you guys that we do stream here every Wednesday, Thursday, and Monday. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. This Wednesday is Fireball Wednesday, so make sure to join us. I'm looking forward to playing these games, putting some fireballs on the table, and seeing what happens. Reminder to everybody who won prizes over the weekend, we're going to be getting those things shipped out. Super excited to reveal some of the Patreon art that we should have coming in. Should be tons of fun. Again, if you've never voted in our polls, all you got to do is type 1, 2, or 3. There you got your choices. 1 is a vote for Will, 2 is a vote for Marcel, and 3 is a vote for Ryan. Now, our next event that we're going to be streaming is, what's the next one? Next one is the Barons Team Championship. I will be there. Should be a good time. That is February 22nd, I think. I could check just by typing exclamation point events in the chat. Boom. Yes, February 22nd is when we'll be there. And then we have Crate Cup in March, Adepticon again in March. And again, if you want us to see if we can make it out to your Prime Championship and you're in the U.S., get in contact with us and we'll see what we can do. So after getting some votes in there from the people who wanted to participate, looks like Will is the winner by 5%. Will, you wear the crown this week. Congratulations. You are the winner of List of the Week.
Ooh, now you got to fly it.
Oh, I'll fly it easy. No problem.
Hey, Dion, for upcoming events also this weekend, I don't know if you're going to make it, but we have our monthly at the store.
Ah, yes. Okay, that didn't get on my calendar.
Like, yeah, so that's this Saturday.
You guys got a store championship to stream?
That is, should be yet. Coming up. I'm surprised that we didn't schedule that yet. Maybe we'll do it the 3-7. I'll talk to Ron about it.
And so, there also is never mind. I see you got it blocked off already. On 2-1, there's a not 2-1. On 3-1, there is a local store championship happening at GameStorm. So I don't know if you had that one or wanted that one.
Yeah, I have it blocked off for some reason. I don't know what's happening that day. 3-1. Something.
Not 2-1. 3-1.
3-1.
Yeah, GameStorm's in Lamont's doing their store championship.
All right, we'll see what we can do. All right, everybody. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. We love you guys. Gold Squadron out.